This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
G'day guys, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Jennifer Simonetti Bryan from, well, originally from New York, but now somewhere on the West Coast. Where are you in the West Coast, Jennifer?
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm at Newport Beach. So it's between Los Angeles and San Diego. So Southern California.
Southern California. Very, very nice. And Jennifer, you're in Master of Wine.
I am. I am indeed.
When did you qualify?
I qualified in 2008. So yeah, I entered the program in 2002. I know that's like eons, a lifetime ago. But it took me about 4 years to pass theory. And then 2008, I passed the tasting exam and the dissertation.
Lovely, lovely. What we're going to talk about today is about the Master of Wine exam. In particular, we're going to talk about the tasting component of the Master of Wine exam. And I understand you've been a Master of Wine's practical examiner.
Yes, I was. I was an examiner. And it was a lot of fun, I do have to say. But they don't allow examiners to mix and mingle with the students. And I love teaching. So that's one of the big reasons why I left being an examiner, because I just love it. And it feels kind of isolating and alone when you're an examiner. So that's why I wanted to start talking to people again.
Okay. Okay. So we'll talk about that a bit more. But as you say, you became started the process of becoming a Master of Wine in 2002. What were you doing before that?
Well, my love affair with wine started when I was in investment banking, actually working in London. And it was a business lunch that changed my life forever. So here I was at a business lunch. It was an optimal capital structuring presentation for Bridgestone. I know it was like an automotive company. And I was sitting there and there was a Sancerre that came to the table. I knew nothing about wine. So all I knew was that it was a white wine and they paired it with salmon. And so when I tasted the wine and I tasted the salmon, like there was this aha moment that I was like, oh my goodness. And it threw me off for the presentation. And I had my boss kicking me under the table going, Jennifer, focus here, focus. But it was an epiphany to me that, oh my goodness, you could pair wine with something with food and have this explosion of flavor. And I was like, you know, I really need to know more about this. So I took my first class was in London. It was the Philip McGregor School for Wine. And he was drunk all the time, but it was a lot of fun. And and then I was like, you know, someone said to me, Jennifer, when you have paid your dues in banking, then you'll be able to kind of just coast and then retire. I'm like, and that'll be maybe about 10 years. And I'm like, I am not spending the next 10 years of my life doing, 100-hour weeks and it was incredible work. So I was like, you know what? I think I need to follow my passion. So left the 6-figure salary, went to go work for a wine store in Greenwich Village in Manhattan. And then someone mentioned the whole WSET thing. I was like, ooh, I got to find out more about that. And that was it. And I was off and I needed to know everything yesterday. And after WSET level 4, someone mentioned the Master of Wine. And I thought, ooh, what is that? And of course, just like most people who are in WSET, they go, oh, I'm never going to go for the Master of Wine. It's too difficult to this, because it's like the Olympics for wine, right? And that's at least how I thought of it back in the day. And I'm like, wow, there's only like, at the time, there was only like 300 people in the world who have ever achieved this title. I was like, that's never going to be me. But, you know, how many years later, and just couldn't stop studying. I just loved it too much. And that's why I went for it.
So what are you doing at the moment? How do you make a crust these days?
Okay. Well, I have my own online wine school, Master Wine Online, and I started it back in 2018. But I came out with my first really big course in 2020, which was the Blind Tasting X program. And I started with Master of Wine candidates and WSET level diploma four. And I wanted to make sure that I could get all the kinks out, because the people who are most forgiving are people who know what a Master of Wine is. But I wanted to help people with blind tasting, because so many people, you go through a tasting, but blind tasting is so very particular. It's very different than, let's say, tasting in order to write up a description or for a shelf talker or something for any kind of marketing materials. Blind tasting is a very different animal. So I wanted to be able to focus in on that. So that's where I began.
What's your URL or your website?
Oh, it's called masterwineonline.com.
Cool. Actually, you've got you've offered one of your courses to one of our listeners, haven't you?
Yes. Yes. The Taste Your Way to Palate Confidence tasting course. It's a 6-lesson or 6-week course. I recommend it being 6 weeks, or you can do it when, however you want, because it's recorded, but it's a tasting course. We compare and contrast 2 wines per lesson, and we go through, how to identify specific grape markers, how to identify origin markers, so where is it from? And we even go through how to identify winemaking markers and vintage. So it's really a lot of fun to do that. But again, it's focused more on truly trying to identify these things in wine to really augment your blind tasting ability.
Cool. So we're going to have a competition for one of our listeners for your online course, which would be very, very good. But I'll give more information of that at the end of the show. So we'll get more information about that later on. Okay, so let's talk about this Master of Wine exam, because I know that the tasting technique doesn't necessarily line up with the WSET tasting technique, or it doesn't have to. And so let's, before we get into a little bit about the tasting technique or differences there, do you want to just walk us through what's actually happening in the Master of Wine in terms of the exam itself? Is it like I understand it's like several days and lots of exams.
It is. Yeah, it's a 4-day exam. So in the mornings from, it's going to be specific, you know, like 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. till about, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes for tasting. So you have 2 hours and 15 minutes for tasting in the morning, and it's 12 wines. You have 3 days of tasting. So you have paper one, 12 wines of white, paper two, which is the next day, 12 reds. And then paper three is 12. It could be anything, sweet, sparkling, fortified. It could also be white or red still, or it could be rosé as well. So it could be anything. So that's 36 wines. And in that tasting exam, you are required to write essays where the essays are identify grape variety or grape varieties, if it's blend, and tell us why. So it's not just enough to say, like, so for WSET, you could say for a Chablis, just throwing it out there. Chablis, you could say pale straw color with light green reflections, moderately aromatic intensity with notes of green apples and slight yeasty notes and butter and then acid such and such. So you're going through along, tasting note equals Chablis. In the Master of Wine, you are required to single out why it's Chardonnay. So you would be saying, well, the modest or moderate aromatic intensity is fairly neutral and with notes of green apple could suggest these different grape varieties. However, with the winemaking techniques of yeastiness and some malolactic fermentation, some of the butter, that points to Chardonnay. And then you're giving arguments to support why you think it's Chardonnay and not, and saying why it's not, let's say, Sauvignon Blanc or Chenin Blanc or something along those lines. So that's only one section. It's 25 points per wine. And so you're, in short, if you're asked to give 10 reasons why it's Chardonnay, you have to give 10 reasons why it's Chardonnay. So it's not just tasting note equals Chardonnay. So there, it's a much different level.
Okay, so in the level 3 and the level 4 tasting exams at WST, we're talking about coming up, like you get marks. You get marked for saying it's high acidity and medium minus alcohol. In the Master of Wine exam, it's not about the levels of the acidity or alcohol. It's more about what the levels tell you about the wine.
Correct. It's about the evidence from the glass and telling you about the conclusion. I mean, you have to get it right. I mean, you have, just like the WSET level, you know, for diploma, you have to say, if it's Riesling, you have to say it's high acidity. If you said this is moderate acidity, they will kind of ding you for that. You know what I mean? So you might get marks off, but it is also a marks and points based system. It's not always linear though, because sometimes you can, I've seen beautiful notes and arguments that are so well woven together. It's like this gestalt, you know, you're like, oh, this person has mastery. So when an examiner looks at a tasting essay on the MW exam, it's not just about getting certain pieces of evidence correct and your conclusions correct, but it's all about how you've woven it into a masterful argument. So it, there's an even beyond just getting the levels right.
How do you mark for that, though? I mean, I could see why if you said, oh, it's straw color, pale straw colored or whatever, you know, that points to maybe a deep skinned grape variety and yep, youthful and what have you. But that's not really, I mean, that's just bullet points. That's not really woving it together.
Correct.
And you can give marks or bullet points because it's easy to go bang, bang, bang. That's one of the things about level three and level four marking is that generally you get a mark for saying something, a specific thing, and you get your mark. Whereas when you're giving an argument, because I'm more sciencey, so I've never been very good at English. So I could never understand, you know, he had an essay on something on history, you know, give some facts, but people get marks for arguments. And I've never been a big one to understand that. Can you tease that out a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. So when you have a tasting essay, there is a flow to your arguments, just like with theory essays, there's a flow to your arguments. And sometimes it will be kind of an eyes, nose, palate kind of running through an argument. Let's say why it's a particular grape variety. For origin, you can do what we call is funneling, which is starting with, is this a warm climate or is this a cool climate wine? And then going to, is this old world, new world? And then going from, well, these are what points to this grape variety. And this is the quality level, which points to these countries in these regions. So you're doing this like upside down pyramid. So that funneling technique to particularly arrive at some place. So there's different techniques for different, but in terms of answering your question about how do you grade the essays, it's not always linear or straightforward, but you do have to see that this candidate is getting it correct, but also weaving very well done arguments.
I've always avoided things like English and history and all that because I just can't write a coherent argument very well. So I'm interested, you know, I'm interested in that type of thing.
So, yeah. Okay. So as I go through a tasting note for an essay, what I'll do is let's say we'll pick Chablis. We'll just pick on Chablis today. So let's say they say it's Chardonnay in the first part of the note, proving grape variety for, let's say, 7 points. I'll go through and I'll read what they wrote and I'll check off going, oh, that's correct. You know, for color, that's correct for aromatic intensity. That's correct. And I'll go through and I'll check and I'll kind of add up points. But then I look at the whole overall, how it's rated, and I may go up or go down depending on how the flow of the argument is going. Because if it's all over the place, that doesn't really demonstrate mastery, right? So if you have mastery around what this is, you can weave an argument and make it sound really coherent and lovely, right? So it's not just about getting those points, but it's also about that gestalt. And it's also, if they get it wrong, they don't have the opportunity to get full marks. They don't have the opportunity to get full passing marks. So let's say it's, you called it a Chenin Blanc, and it was a Chardonnay, and it was for 10 marks. The maximum opportunity for marks for that section would be, let's say, 6 out of 10, because 65% is passing. So the maximum opportunity is for that. So I could only grade up. So even if it was the most beautiful note for Chenin Blanc and actually you're tasting correctly, I could only maximum give you 6 marks. Having said that, as well, if you said it was Chenin Blanc and it's Chardonnay, you're probably only going to get about like 3 or 4 points. So, but you can still gain enough points where the whole paper of 12 wines, you can still pass for the whole 300 points, right? Because, and that's where it comes into play, where if you're proving for grape variety and you miss it, you're going to country and region of origin and you sort of got that, and you really nailed the quality, you can actually pass the whole wine. So you don't have to like necessarily wig out if you've missed one of those sections.
Okay. Okay. And that's how they do it. They say, look, you give us the grape variety, give us the region quality. Is it always the same? Is it always?
No. It will depend. And sometimes they'll give a wine that's quite obscure and they won't ask you grape variety at all. They won't ask you origin. They'll focus on tell us the style, the quality and commercial positioning and market positioning of this wine. And you can tell the market positioning on where something belongs based on the evidence in the glass. If it's a Pinot Grigio and it's light and it's fruity, and you can make the argument that this would do well everywhere. Yeah. But if it's a Jura or a Vin Jaune, you're like, ooh, yeah. Oh, I know my Aunt Franny's not going to like that wine, and she only drinks, you know, light and sweet. So it has a much more limited market positioning for that. So you're using pieces that's in the glass to support why it belongs in certain markets or in certain niches and not.
Okay. So, and they've got lots of different types of questions they ask.
Yes.
Explain from the wine itself.
Yeah. But what is helpful? I mean, yes, it could be anything. But it does help, and this comes to when you're practicing, looking at previous exams on how the flights are made up. Yes, they may give an individual wine, and sometimes it's, you know, that obscure wine they want you to really tease out the quality, tell us the quality and the winemaking for this. But most of the time, the flights are set up in all three are from the same country. There are three different grape varieties, or these are all made, all three are made from the same grape variety, but these are three different regions. So, or all three are from Burgundy, and then you're tasked with region and, you know, vineyard as closely as possible, winemaking and vintage. So in a sense, they're trying to help you out a little bit by framing the question in that way. But I see too many MW candidates practicing terribly, but by showing up with a bunch of MW candidates, they'll get together and they'll just pull whatever they have available and free and like, yeah, let's just do this blind. That's a waste of their time, actually. It's a much better use of their time to look at what's been on previous exams, because they give that to you. Looking at those flights and being able to structure and do with intention, practicing in those ways, because they choose those wines so painstakingly, right? They are they're chosen for a particular purpose. It's not just a random Pinot Noir. You know, they'll choose it for that reason. So, in terms of practicing, it's way better to do it that way.
The MWs, they do their exams in different continents, don't they? So you don't all have to pile into London to do it.
No, thankfully. Yeah, they have one in London, or they have one in California, and they have one in Australia. But it's usually done in the same 24 hours. Yeah,
so they're tasting the same wines all the way through every MW.
Correct. Yeah, so it's all the same wines everywhere. Yeah, so that's where it's really difficult to be part of the team that's choosing and selecting the wines, because they have to make sure it gets to the place. Everything's all set up exactly the same way. This way, you don't have a candidate, let's say in California, calling up, you know, one up in London or whatever, or London calling up California going, yeah, I think the first three wines were Chardonnay. Like, so they don't want that. They don't want that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would have thought that would happen if they're not done all at the same time.
Correct.
Around the world. So when the English people are doing it at 9 o'clock in the morning, the poor old Aussies are doing it at like 10 o'clock at night. Hey, happy days.
Hey.
Okay. Now that sounds fabulous. That sounds fabulous. All right, Jennifer, I think we'll wrap it up there. Next week, I think what we're going to do is we're going to compare maybe a bit more about the tasting technique of, say, the WST student and the Master of Wine student.
Perfect.